But you did really like Breath of the Wild.
I did.
I just want to talk about Breath of the Wild. Can we just talk about Breath of the Wild for a little bit?
Can you entertain him, please?
I want to talk about video games. Moving on.
Welcome to the Between Two Beards podcast, a Bloomsburg Christian Church podcast to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some who have been following Jesus for decades, and others who are just beginning their walk with him. We are a family united by the saving grace of Jesus. And we are your hosts, Mike,
Noah,
and I'm Chad.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Between Two Beards. This is actually going to be the second to last episode of season two. So there's one more the following week, and then we are going to go on a brief hiatus for the rest of the summer, and we'll be back in the fall. But I am here, and my co-host this week is none other than the drummer boy, Noah Henning.
Hey, Mike. I'm happy to be here again. Really thrilled to be here to interview the Andersons. I've had the pleasure of knowing Patrick and Brittany for about 16 years, roughly, I would say.
Wow. Y'all are old.
Yeah, yeah. I did the quick math. I'm in year 16 of my five-year starter home. So it's like 16 years ago. But Patrick and Brittany, it's really great to have you here. And you're not alone because you've brought your oldest with you, Paxton, who is 12, I believe. Yeah. All right. So why don't you guys just get us started by introducing yourselves into the microphone, and then we can kind of go from there. You can decide who wants to start with kind of your about a little bit about yourself and your journey with Christ from, you know, from younger years onward, and we can go from there. So why don't we start right here?
Just saying our names.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Brittany.
I'm Paxton.
And Patrick.
All right. So who would like to start out talking about your journey as a believer in Christ? I know with you two, like, sometimes I go into this a little blind, not knowing like the level of faith that one has when we start to get to know them. But you guys have been two people in my life that I always know that when I'm going to have a conversation with you, or I'm going to have a dinner with you, or I'm going to be hanging out with you, that the conversation is going to revolve around our faith. And it's just kind of it's a treat to have you guys here. So I'd love to hear more about how you guys got to where you are.
I think that Paxton wants to go first.
Oh, that'd be...
Is that true? I was just going to say I was going to go last.
Oh. Okay. Well, I guess Patrick wants to go first. I really can if you really want me to.
But. Let's do it. I'll start. So, I was born and raised in the wonderful, beautiful state of New Jersey. Am I cutting out? Uh-oh. It's picking up. Okay.
There you go.
So you're born in the wonderful state of New Jersey, the armpit of America. Nice.
Yep. And I grew up at with my parents. Neither one of them were Christians. I was raised going to a Presbyterian church, so I kind of grew up in that scene and attended VBS a few times. You know, just it was more about being good to people. That was kind of the background where my parents kind of laid it at. My mom attended with me. She took my sister and I. My sister's 3 years younger than I am. My dad never came. And I pretty much grew up for 12 years being an atheist, I would say. I didn't really believe that there was a higher power or God. Just wanted to do my own thing. It was very selfish and...
Was there a reason why that you went down that road? Like, was it the Presbyterians? You were just like...
Hypocrites.
Okay.
Yep. People going to church, yep. People in my class, friends and students I was with, you know, I'd call them out saying, why do you come here to VBS and you don't act like that when you're at school? You know, like, I didn't pretend to know anything or believe anything more than that. So I did what I wanted to. I was a pretty mean person to a lot of people and... Yeah, I didn't pretend, but I know other people did, so it just was not true to me.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that was through high school?
Up until the beginning of high school.
Okay.
Middle school, high school.
Okay, and then what happened?
So, yeah, if I get into where God started pulling at my heartstrings, It was age 11. There were kind of two stories that I can recall that really led me down that path. And it's really exciting to think back on them and tell you guys about it. The first one was a friend of mine who introduced me to some Christian music. He was homeschooled. He was like, you know, he had a few friends, but not many people knew and were acquainted with him. But his family was amazing. They invited me to church, a different church, and I tried it out and attended with them when I was in middle school. And through that influence of music, which is huge in my life, I learned about DC Talk. That was kind of like the gateway band into learning
all
that.
Right, yeah. All right, all right. Love DC
Talk. So Jesus Freak, I ran through many of those CDs. Just got hooked on it. I didn't know that there was music that talked about what Christianity was all about. And I quickly delved into all sorts. I mean, I grew up listening to all sorts of music, but getting into a Christian theme where there was more praise and worship of our Father, that was like just so foreign to me. So when I got into that and was influenced by that family that tried to disciple me in a way to get me to understand more, it really made a huge impact on me. In the band PAX 217, if you're familiar with them, that was one I quickly gravitated to, and they became my favorite. And it was the mentality of just loving on people. That was their message, you know, whatever diversity you are part of, people from all skin colors, ethnicities. It's just all about engaging with each other and loving on each other through your actions.
That was a group that had such a 90s sound. Like, they fit in perfectly. But yeah, PAX 217 was fantastic. So this is all like around like age 11 and onward, or was it a couple of years of hanging out with this family, or was it just a real brief
friendship? A couple years, yep. And then the second part of that story was attending a camp up in New York, up in the Adirondacks, Northern Frontier. And I'd say the point there, it was 1999. I looked up the date. It was like July 18th when I remember being around the campfire with a bunch of students. And for the first time, just hearing other people talk about their faith, like peers of mine, you know, my age. And, you know, it was a Christian camp, so I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, but never really saw it that live with people that close around me, like relationships I was just making with people. And it was really, you know, it affected my heart. And I heard it, and that was the first time God was telling me I need to change my ways of living. So I definitely understand. Places like that, camps, have a really good meaning and have good influence on people.
So. Dude, that is nuts to hear you say that date. You said it was like July 1999, because that's the month and the year where I had where I went up to a church in Pine Creek Valley where my like great uncle and my grandmother's side was preaching, and left there and kind of cursed out God and was an atheist and was driving home and like, you're not real. If you're real, prove it. And got into the car accident and walked away scratch free and then met Ashley. Yeah. So like July 99 was my moment too, where I started to get like pulled on the heartstrings too. So
yeah, it was just crazy. Before my birthday. I would have been 12 at that time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did we just become best friends?
I was a little older.
We've been friends for so long and never figured that out.
I mean, I was a bit.
You were like, probably like 17, 18.
For like a half second there, he's like, I was 12 then. I was like, did I get the year wrong? I'm like, oh, no. I'm just much older. That's all. I think I was 17, I think. Yeah. But yeah, that's cool. I mean, I had no idea that date was, we had that date coinciding. So. Where'd you go to college?
Attended Bloomsburg. I first moved out here to Pennsylvania when I started college here in Bloomsburg, 2004. And I was huge into sports all my life, so I kind of came in here wanting to be a part of the sports scene and making a lot of friends in that group. I mean, I was all over the place. I played every sport I could and could tell you Derek Jeter's batting average in 1996 was .314. Like, I memorized statistics and all that. I was way,
wow, that's awesome,
way too far into it. But and I was that way with Christian music. I'm kind of like a obsessive in a way to like know knowledge and things like that. So if only I could have translated down the memorizing scripture, which I'm catching up on in my life now.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah. So yeah, attended here in Bloomsburg, and that's where I finally was able to meet my love of my life, Brittany. So
put a pin in that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to that.
So we got to get this one caught up.
Yeah, now we got to get Brittany caught
up. I'll stop there.
It's I'm not going to remember any dates. So.
That's okay. Either, I can't remember
like,
any dates
wow,
either.
Wow, he came really prepared with dates. I'm like, I hardly know what the date is today. I don't think I do know the date today.
I think it's the 17th. Yeah, it's the 17th.
Cool. We're in July. It's all I know. Yeah.
Great. So I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So it's like 2.5 hours from here. My parents, my mom was a born-again believer, and my dad, he was brought up Catholic, so he wasn't really practicing Catholicism. But I think because of that, we never really, like, we went to church for, like, Easter, not Christmas, just other different events that were in the church that my mom had kind of been a part of, which was, like, an hour away from us. And it's a very difficult church to describe. The preaching there, like, they would say it's preaching, not, like, giving a sermon, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very in your face, like, they would say, like, brothers and sisters or children. And so I would look around, and I would be one of the only children there. So I always thought, like, they were speaking directly to me.
Right,
or, like,
you.
Sisters, like, they were talking about, like, my sister and I's relationship. Like, oh, I was, man, just not getting it, you know. I never really understood exactly what was being preached there. So that never really made an impact on me. And then I would say that my mom, she really tried hard to impress morals upon us, but not necessarily, like, we weren't growing up in, like, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it wasn't like we knew the scripture behind, you know, why we shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. It was just, like, a lot of rules. And I was basically a people pleaser. I like to push a tiny bit, but I was kind of down with the morals. But as I got into high school and you start hearing all types of things and you're trying to also fit in, I would just, you know, I would just start, like, swearing just to try to fit in or telling dirty jokes or whatever, like, just because that's what everyone around you did. And then I also had something really significant happen to me in, like, fifth grade, where I had this group of friends. They all basically just decided they didn't want to be my friend anymore and, like, ran away. And I think that, like, impacted the rest of at least the next 10 years.
That is pretty traumatic.
So in high school, I actually then kind of maybe in, like, during my freshman year, like, became that to someone else and did the same thing, which you hear a lot with bullying, like, that is typical, that if you've been bullied, then sometimes you might.
Yeah, it just perpetuates itself.
Right, you just perpetuate it. So that was really terrible. But then later on, I just found, like, a new group of friends. Basically, I was just kind of bouncing from group of friends to group of friends, but always struggling with insecurity. And this new group of friends wanted then, we had a friend, Ruth, who was inviting us to church, to a lot of different things. And I had always kind of felt a pull towards church to really want to know and understand. And they were kind of like, she's, like, getting a little weird with all this church stuff. They went to, like, one event with her, and they were like, we need to be done with her. And I just think that was one of those things where, like, it was such an important decision in my life, because finally I was like, no, that's not right. Like, I kind of want to hear what she has to say. And so I was like, no, I think I'm going to continue hanging out with her. And basically it was through that, her bringing me to youth group, that I also went to, I guess it was a retreat, not a camp. And at that time I had known some things and passions that I had for my life. And one of them was that I wanted to work with kids with special needs. And that was through meeting a little girl with autism, and she had been adopted from Guatemala. So we go to this camp, and this guy brings up all three of those things in this sermon. And I just felt like, you know, God was, you know what I mean? It wasn't like he's talking about them in ways that related to how I knew them, but he brought up Guatemala, he brought up adoption, and he brought up, like, having a passion and God, you know, making us all for something. So that was, at that night, I gave my life to Christ.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Through youth group. Youth group shout out. So this is all pre-college. You're still like high school age at this point.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking sophomore.
Okay.
In high school.
So like 15, 16, around that age. Right. Yeah. Okay. So now you've come to know Christ as your savior. And so what's that early walk look like for you? Because is this something you go back and talk to your mom about? Is this something that you try to get plugged in with your mom's church? Or are you still going to Ruth's, or like what goes from here?
Yeah, I don't know that I talked to my mom all that much about it. She just, you know, all of a sudden I want to go to church. So I'm going with my friend. She's not really sure, you know, what their theology is or whatever. But I think she's just, I mean, you're pretty happy as a parent if your kid just wants to hang out and go to church events.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I continued going to Ruth's church. I remember her mom actually giving me a Bible, which we had Bibles in our house, but it was never like, I never saw my mom reading it. I never knew that, like, that's what you were supposed to do as a Christian. So I remember calling Ruth up the one time and being like, this stuff in this Bible, like, this is crazy. Because I just, you know, where do you start when you get a book? You start at the beginning. And I was like, I don't know about this. And she's like, how about you, like, you need to start in a gospel. And so I did that, and that helped a lot. So that was kind of the beginning of my journey. And then I just continued going to church with her. There were some negatives because I was kind of being discipled by peers. So some of the things and ways that they were living weren't exactly right. So there was kind of some confusion in the mix. But overall, that was my beginning.
Awesome. But then you have this passion to work with special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads you to
Bloomsburg University.
So is that what you majored in?
Yeah, special ed and elementary ed. Yeah, and I particularly wanted to work with kids with autism, so it was very specific.
Patrick, what did you major in?
Engineering.
Well, not at first.
Not at first, yeah. I knew I wanted to do something with my strengths of math and science.
Majored
in
sports at first, right? That's what you said?
No, I played a lot of intramural sports.
Yeah,
nothing.
No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect.
Sports, video games, friendships. Yeah, that was what I came into college for.
You are really big into math, correct? Like, math is one of your passions, or is it not?
He mentioned that
you are good at it.
I'm good at it.
Strong word.
You obviously, with your career, you have to be at least okay, if not exceptional at math.
I'd say your wife has more of a passion of math than I do, but
she likes it too. No, my wife just loves the bureaucracy of the school system. That's why she does it. She hates math. I mean, but yeah. So you are you. What was? I'm sorry. I totally interrupted you and derailed it. But what was your initial major?
I came in under psychology.
Oh.
Well, thinking like in the mentality that, you know, I profess to be a believer. I want to help people in some way. I have no idea what I'm going to do in life, but let's start there and see what happens. And a year into it, I was like, no way. I want something black and white, not gray.
Yeah.
That's just how my mind works.
Would it be throwing you under the bus to tell them your grade, your first?
Ooh.
Go for it. I don't even remember. Ooh. You know it more than
I
do.
You had to retake it. Remember?
I didn't have to, no.
Well,
I chose to.
You chose to retake it because
you
got
to sit next to you in class.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And we ended up getting to take it together. So that was our only class we ever took together.
Right.
So that was fun.
Was it psych? Is it or sociology or which one was it?
It was like psychology 101 or something. I don't know.
That's why I knew I was going
to
be a psych
major. Did you offer to like meet after class and pick her brain and study buddies and stuff like that? Or was it just?
It was like studying at Denny's like 3 a.m. before the test was at 8 a.m.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes.
Absolutely perfect.
Walking there, of course, because that's what you should do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hike. That's up and over the hill.
That's all VUs.
You
all
walked
up
to Denny's.
Yeah.
So how did you guys actually meet then? Were you the same year of college?
No, I started in 04. She was in 05. Okay. And I think with her coming on, the first correspondence was through online. And she got a hold of me somehow.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh,
and MySpace.
Through Protestant Campus Ministry.
Yep.
And she was wanting to know more of who's around. And I guess when she was a freshman coming in, I wanted to meet her and say hi. And yeah, I came down to her first floor in Lycoming, I remember, and walked in her room and I said, hey.
So this was essentially like Christian Mingle is how you guys met. Like,
kind of.
So this was an organization that links up other believers at campuses. Is this what this was?
Protestant Campus Ministries. Yeah. It was similar to CREW, only it was ran by a woman who was just like, you know, she wasn't part of the college. She
gotcha.
Was an actual leader of some sort.
Nice. So you guys met. You barged into her room.
He did.
Apparently, I remember you said I had a big beard at the time.
Yeah, he did. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't love at first sight, or was this love at first sight?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, maybe there was a potential on MySpace, but then he decided not to shave all summer or something, and I was like, not what I was expecting.
So then he shaved, and how'd you get date one here?
That came probably a year into it. See, I was already dating someone at the time.
Oh, scandalous. So. Go on.
We don't need to go too far in the weeds there.
Did she like the beard?
I don't recall.
You don't recall?
I'm sure he didn't care.
He's not going to answer that. What are you doing?
I don't know.
So I'm just remembering, looking back on our stories, the cool part is, if we fast forward a little bit, our baptisms didn't happen until...
Get out of here.
We just skip past this ex-girlfriend, you know, and the beard. And let's just move on to my happy marriage.
Yeah. I mean, to fill so in the true. Gap there, I did a lot of wrong things, and I was not leading myself the way and showing myself as a believer. So we went through some rocky roads there with our relationship, but we finally mended it and came together, and I came to my senses that she was the one and I needed to make things right. So.
Yeah, when I talk to people about it, I'm always like, if someone came to me now and told me this story and this is what's going on, I would be like, run.
Get away from him.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. It's not healthy. But somehow God made beauty out of the mess, and it hasn't been easy, but here we are.
That is absolutely something to think about. Like, as I know you guys obviously are parents, and you're looking at your kids growing up and looking at the future when they might bring someone they want to court, or like a future spouse, it's going to be difficult to like see those situations, because the situation you just described, if one of your kids shows up with a train wreck and I think I can fix this. Like, I mean, Ashley showed up at her mom's house. She was 15. I was 16, and I was an atheist. And like, I was not a great kid either. Right. I was in trouble. I would have told me to leave. I would, you know, you're not hanging out with my daughter, get lost. But, you know, that ultimately led to my salvation. So like, it's a rough, like thin line to run.
Right.
But so you would have probably not, you can't see the whole picture, but this man turned out nice. Like, he's great. Right.
I took some hard molding of the clay for that to happen.
That appears trying to make a comeback.
Has to do with the fact that we did become Christians later in life. And then, you know, we didn't have a strong discipling, so we were kind of reading the word as we went and learning as we went.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just some things, you know, I made bad decisions, you know, to continue being with someone that was making all these bad decisions, and then vice versa. So,
yeah.
Yep. And I think back to like the story of Joseph in Genesis 50, like that was a story where, you know, God brought people into his life, you know, with his brother's situation, and the Lord said, you know, you're gonna have people in your life, but he's gonna turn the bad things into good. Jeremiah said it about the tribe of Judah going into the land of the Chaldeans. You know, that is kind of like a recurring theme in my life anyway, being like in situations or people that were bringing me down the road I shouldn't have been going, but he eventually turned it into something good.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8:28, a verse I love, you know, for those who trust in God, all things work together for the good of those who trust in him.
And right, that was the common thing, is that we were both earnestly seeking. We just didn't always know the right way to go right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time in your walk to be able to hear that, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and to understand what it's leading you towards and what it's pushing you towards. And the fact that you guys have, like, as part of your marriage story and as part of your relationship story, that you have this early believers coming up as well. Like, you're both newly christened believers within the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. To me, that's a newly christened believer, and to have that coming up in faith together, like, it probably creates a connection between the two of you that is rare and difficult to find sometimes, I'm sure. Like, I don't want to use the word admirable, but it's enviable in a way, kind of, like, to have that faith journey come up, because, like, when I had met Ashley, she had been a Christian for multiple years prior to that, and I was the one making mistakes around and having Ashley rein me in instead of us learning together. And, you know, all kinds of, it's just neat. It's a really cool that you guys have that as part of your relationship. Mm-hmm. So I know that you guys go through college. Are you married prior to graduation or post-graduation?
Well, I graduated.
Prior.
While he mooched. So oh. He just had one semester left. So I remember his mom, when she found out we were engaged first, we kind of didn't tell them in like the best and easiest way, because his parents weren't really thinking that marriage was like in his maybe 10-year plan. I don't know.
Yeah, they were not supportive of my decision.
Right. So I just remember her leaning over during church, because we told her right before church, and she's like, he's going to graduate first, right? And I was like, no.
No.
Hold on a second. You got to college first.
Remember, he had a whole year of being, he wanted to be a psychology professor.
And then engineering is like 4.5 years anyway,
yeah.
Right? Or
because gotcha.
He
yeah.
had to have like an internship yep. type thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they actually call it, if that's what it's called. But
yep.
So take me to the engagement. How did you do it?
I did it in front of the crowd in a homecoming football game up on campus.
Serious?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had to go big. I
couldn't tell when his face was like.
No, no.
He had his like look on his
face.
He's like, okay, now I'll tell you really what happened. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that was interesting, because I contacted her best friend, Ruth, who we were talking about earlier, and her parents, and, you know, made sure it was okay with them and everything was good, that they were going to come and be a part of that so they could be there for it. So I coordinated everything behind the scenes and just felt like it was a cool thing I always wanted to try to do, and do it in front of a lot of people to make it an exciting.
We also flew in another friend of mine from California. So
wow. What if she said no?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna ask. Like, because when you're gonna do a proposal like that, the potential for it to go horribly wrong is
right.
there. So you have to have some monikerm of confidence
yeah.
that we've kind of discussed this. I kind of know that it's a yes already before you invest all that time. Because, I mean, you might be on some fail video on the internet out there somewhere if it had been a no.
I don't think there was any doubt in his mind that I would say no. It was more like hint, but,
yeah.
Very
That's
strong
good.
Hint. And, like, a lot of our friends were getting engaged, so.
Yeah, it was in the air.
Just, you know, nice. waiting for the time.
Nice. So all eyes were on you then, right?
Yes.
How'd that go?
It was fine. Yeah. I think no, it was good. I liked it. Just there's a little bit of depth to it, because I actually kind of knew that it was coming, because you know, if you think back to the origins of our relationship, there's trust issues there.
Uh-huh.
So I may have known all of his email passwords and may have regularly checked his email and found out. But then what I didn't know anything about my parents being there, which I had like kind of talked to them on the phone, because I was trying to gauge, you know, where they're at, if they have any idea, and they did it really well.
Good for them.
And then like my friend, I had called her that he had flown in from California, and she must have been in the airport, but I had no idea.
Wow. That's great.
Right. So then when I saw them, I actually like fell over, because I was truly surprised.
Aww.
And I thought I wasn't really going to be surprised. So
I had some extra cards up my sleeve.
Yeah, we had friends
well done,
there
sir.
That were saying like they needed to stand up front, because he was in film class. And so he needed to video, and we just need to do it until the first touchdown. So I was like, oh, OK. So I know when this is happening, the first touchdown, because then we get to go sit down. So
okay.
I just played along.
Nice.
But
nice.
Yet we're still surprised, and it was still
still
nice.
Yeah.
So engaged, you guys are graduated and about to graduate. You guys get married here?
Yes, Eric married us. Which I was like a little nervous about, because of how tall I am compared to him.
That's hilarious.
I was like, that's gonna be, I mean, the pictures, are
right.
they gonna be okay? But I mean, we had gone here to church since, I don't know, what year was that?
2006.
2006.
Yeah. You guys found
and we got
BCC
married in 2009.
In college?
Yes.
Yes.
We
okay.
did.
Nice.
So that was through a group, which is kind of where we met Noah. Mm-hmm. Not kind of, really is where we met Noah.
Where, but
so you were already here.
No, because
the Andersons started before he got here. Andersons were already attended. We came in 2007, end of 2007, because as Eric always points out, I throw my aunt-in-law under the bus. She was up here doing Weight Watchers, and she saw this whole group of college kids on a Thursday night. And she's like, you guys should go check out this church on a Thursday night. It's just, I saw like 20, 25 college kids. You should just go check it out. And at that point, Ashley had just graduated college, and I was going to college late. So we were like 24. So we're like, we can blend in with college people. So
they did. They really did.
So we that's how we started coming. But they had already been a part of it. Nice. So you guys came because of the fold, but then stuck around.
Right. So we had actually been meeting in a friend's dorm room and outgrowing it.
Oh, wow.
Doing this Bible study where we just talked about like controversial things. So not even like not a surface level, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Jesus loves you Bible study, but really digging deep into topics that I had never even heard of. So I was mostly kind of
we were
sitting and listening,
learn.
Taking it in, but we were eager to learn. And then at the same time, I think some people from here were talking about wanting to do some kind of college ministry. Well, one of the people from our dorm room study met then somebody from here through some kind of college outreach. And then they were like, hey, you know, let's come together. And then I think that was, you know, the origins of the study.
Yeah, and that study blossomed. We got, I mean, it was a revolving door because you have, you know, college kids, they're graduating, moving on. But at its, like, before we decided that it was getting to the point where we needed to kind of branch out and try to do more discipleship out instead of coming together, and many people were moving away, but it peaked out at like 45 to 50 on a Thursday.
That's crazy.
So it was, it was really, really something special. And it really was, it was, even with that number, it was like, it was not surface level stuff. And if someone brought up a passage or a piece of scripture, it would like all stop and be like, okay, but why are you bringing this up? Why do you believe that? What is it saying here? It was never just like, it was, man, that, I think we all grew so much, like iron sharpening iron through that whole time. Yeah, it was great.
And at its very beginning, it was Keith and Kristen Eichler who were running it.
Greg and CJ Hemsarth were one of the first ones I remember meeting.
Yeah, Greg and CJ were the first. Rob and Missy, Greg and CJ were like the first ones
I met.
Rob and
Missy came in a little bit later. So
but that was like
the
time I started.
The time you came in,
started coming
in. Back, but one of the cool studies in the beginning was a study on baptism, and I think it's like the church has like this nice packet on baptism here that Keith went through with us, and that was when right after that study I was like, wow, like nobody had ever really told me the reason for baptism and what I needed to do, and I just felt the Holy Spirit calling me to do it right then. And so that night at like after the fold, myself and then another friend who's also named Brittany, we were baptized that night. So
that's awesome.
I feel like that's an important part of my
amen.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
Story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Throw that in there. Yeah. My baptism. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, because I was thinking the same exact thing. I wanted to share about my baptism too. I was christened as a baby and an infant, so that didn't mean anything to me. And being a part of this study and witnessing her and her friend go through it, it was like, I had to start thinking about it more. I didn't make that decision until a few months later, but same thing. It was a fold night, and we got it going, and Keith baptized me here, and that was May 4th, the following spring.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I actually didn't know that one. I remember, for some reason, I remember Brittany. I don't know if I was here when you guys were baptized, but I do remember Brittany.
Oh, Brittany Mays.
Yeah, Brittany Mays. Yeah, I do remember her. So we're almost caught up to about 13 years ago when maybe you guys might be expecting. So you have not a small family. You have not a large family, but you have kind of like right in the sweet spot of needing a massive van to get around. So why don't you guys talk a little bit about becoming parents, what that's meant for your relationship and what it means for you guys. And Brittany, I'd like you also to touch on just like your decision to post college to do what you're doing now with your family. And that'd be great to touch on as well. So
Sure. So we have 5 kids right now, and then we're also expecting in the next couple of weeks, so that will make 6. So technically, we can still fit in our Yukon, but, you know, we just like to do everything bigger. So having all the extra space is really nice in the big, massive van. But, yeah, Paxton was our first, and he's 12. And then we also have Tobias, who's 9, Naomi, who's 7, Azariah, who's 4, Azalea, who is 2. I'm just trying to make sure I don't miss anybody. It happens.
We were doing that before you got here. We're like, hey, it's Paxton, Tobias, Naomi, Azariah. We're like, we're going down through it all. We had to remember them all. We're like, got them. I think we got them all. And you were going down through them just now. I'm like, we got it. We got it.
That's not how we did it. Like,
we nailed it.
I'm really impressed. But I always kind of knew that I wanted a big family. But Patrick, you know, and he was kind of open to whatever also, but we were also doing, you know, things the way that the world tells you you're supposed to do them, right? Like you're supposed to wait a couple years after you get married and enjoy your married life. And then after you have your first, you're supposed to gap them a certain amount. So, you know, we were just kind of listening to those common instructions of what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I was reading some scripture about children being a blessing from the Lord and a reward from him. And I read it to Patrick and he's like, yeah, like we can just grow our family and trust God. And so we just went for that. And you would assume, right, you're getting a big family because of that. So I thought, this is all in my favor. Well, then I had a miscarriage after Paxton and then another miscarriage after Paxton. And then I wasn't, you know, getting pregnant, and that was a really challenging time for me, just kind of realizing, like, are you really trusting the Lord for your family, or are you just trusting him for what you want him to do for you? And that's completely different. So that was just a really significant time of growth, but the Lord did decide to bless us with Tobias, and we have had a few miscarriages since then, so I've definitely had my share of losses, and this church family has really helped me through that many times, especially our home group, which we also started attending in like 2007. So we were attending our home group that we still go to before we were married.
And you guys are hosting that now, right? Like you're part of it?
No, Patrick has been the leader.
We facilitate at Don and Stacy Price's house.
Nice.
They've been doing it ever since.
Wow, that's amazing.
Shout out to Don and Stacy.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just now realizing
really
the last time I went to that
us in
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because the last time I went,
Abby was talking
I was talking about like I have a job opportunity, and then we were reading that night and the name Matthias came up like 3 or 4 times in our reading.
Yeah.
Like, that's the superintendent's name. Maybe I should take this job. You know, 10 years later I'm still there, right. But yeah.
So through that time you would obviously be able to see that we've had lots of different people come and go, but I guess Don and Stacy and us are the common ones that have stuck through it.
But you guys have been kind of advocates and champions for a home group and us maintaining and providing the opportunity for home groups as a form of like discipleship and fellowship and kind of the call that we have as believers to iron sharpen iron and to disciple and to reach out. And the fact that you guys have maintained throughout this, you know, you guys made it through us stop doing them here through COVID, through all these things, that home group has persisted. So that's admirable that it's still going and going strong. And it's definitely important. It's one of the areas of my life with Ashley where I'm like, I would really like to start going to a home group, but then the enemy just sneaks in there and it's like, that's just another night that you're not going to be home. Like, you know, you're already doing this. You can't also do a home group. And then we just listen to that. And then we never make it there or we make it sporadically. But just you guys bringing it up now was more conviction on me. So there you go. Thanks for that.
Sure. Anytime.
I love good conviction. So why don't we just, before we get back into like what you're doing now and what you're doing now and what you guys are doing as a family, let's turn things over to your oldest and let's find out a little bit. Now, it's really funny is I have pictures in my phone right now that I could pull up of you and my daughter sitting at a little table in my house having dinner together with, you know, your little plates and your little fork.
True.
And
I think we put a candle there.
Might have been a candle. And we may have joked that it was their first date. But yeah, that was like probably 10 years ago. So I don't expect you to remember that. But Paxton, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself, bud?
So I really just like music. I mostly like rock.
What kind? Like who right now are you listening to the most?
I like Skillet and like other rock bands that make music now. But my dad stopped buying music, so they still make music, and he only has like one album of them. So I have to like, I have all these albums that I really want, and I don't have them.
Everybody stops buying music at a certain part, and then you're like, their new album, and you're like, you realize the new album was 12 years ago, and you're still listening to it. But yeah, so you really like Skillet? Do you like some of? Are you into their like? Because now they're like really hard rock. But if you kind of
like
go back towards, you like the newer stuff.
I really listened. He gave me like the music app, and he just adds the whole artist on there, so I have all that. I like really all the albums, but I like the newer stuff. Like the harder stuff.
Yeah, they're hard. The new stuff is great. I do like their newer stuff. If you go back towards like their older stuff in the 90s, it's more like electronic and techno, and which is all right. But I was a huge fan of them then, but I like them a lot more now. I do like the harder rock. So you like hard rock music? You like Skillet? Mm-hmm. What about I know you're homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
So what grade are you going into as far as that goes? Like, what are you doing right now?
Seventh.
Going into seventh. All right. And any kind of subject that you really excel in or love doing?
I love reading.
Okay. What are you reading right now?
The Bible.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Perfect answer for this podcast.
We made him say that.
Well done.
Patrick, you can let go of him now.
They brought one kid because he got all the answers right.
You got the answers right.
No, we brought the most truthful kid. So he's like pretty much like.
So, all right, follow up to that one then. What's your go-to translation? Like, what are you an ESV guy?
They gave me the ESV.
ESV?
My mom recently bought me a Bible because I wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you in the Bible?
I was trying to read the Bible in 6 months.
Okay.
Whoa, that's ambitious.
But then we watched The Chosen and like how they add a bunch of dialogue and stuff. It tells you, so it like tells you need to read the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't let me watch it till I read the Gospels. And then when we watched it, I just really had a passion to read the Gospels a lot. So I've read Matthew like 6 times.
Oh, wow.
It's just...
So right now, if I say what's your favorite book of the Bible, you're going to go with Matthew? Okay, that's a good one. All right, so apart from being a seventh grader who likes to read, who's really into Skillet, what do you do as far as like hobbies or extracurriculars?
Like
you like football?
Yeah.
You share your dad's passion for sports?
Yeah.
I don't like soccer.
Oh.
That's okay.
I like soccer. You don't like watching 90 minutes of nil-nil? For those listening, he turned to the kid from Colombia and said it's not a real sport.
He usually gets Diego. Gets him hot.
So you watch football. Do you have a favorite team?
I like the 49ers.
49ers? All right.
Wow.
No thoughts over there?
You're a 49er fan. Yes? No.
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 I grew up in New Jersey, so I was all Jersey and New York. So Giants, Yankees.
Yeah, sorry.
New Jersey Devils, Nets.
Wow. Not a Jets? No Jets fan?
No
Jets?
So how did you become a 49ers fan?
Well, I like the Eagles because my grandparents are in Philadelphia on my mom's side. And then I just kind of like, I started liking football. That's like the only team I knew. And then I just saw I didn't really like their team that much because, like, some of their players did not have good morale or they weren't nice. So I just like the 49ers because they have more nicer players. And, like, Brock Purdy says he's a Christian.
Oh, I believe him. He backs it up pretty good.
You like football. Mm-hmm. Do you do like any extracurriculars outside the house? Do you meet up with anybody, play any sports outside, do any kind of things inside the house that are like just Paxton centered and not like with your siblings, anything like that?
Music. I usually just sit on the couch and put my headphones on and listen to music.
I'm probing a little bit because I think you and I had something in common for a bit. I heard that you at one point in time might have been a pretty big Zelda fan.
Yes.
He's gone through phases.
Yeah, I don't really like video games really as much as I did anymore.
But you did really like Breath
yeah,
of the Wild.
I did.
I just want to talk about Breath of the Wild. Can we just talk about Breath of the Wild for a little bit?
Can you entertain him, please?
I want to talk about video games. Moving on.
From the age
on.
Of, like, two, Paxton has had, like, he's been very strong passion. So, like, he started with trains, and then it, like, moved to Mario, and then it was Zelda.
Octonauts and
now we're at
trains.
Yeah. Now we're at football, so he's just all into whatever he's all into.
So now I mostly awesome. Play Madden.
Nice. Oh, there you go. All right.
All right. Noah's out. I'm in.
Tag it. Oh, we're done with the nerdy RPG games? All right. You go ahead and take over, Mike. Let's talk about sports. More sports ball. All right. Which one's your favorite kid? No, I'm just kidding.
It varies, like, depending on the day.
Oh, gotcha, yes, gotcha.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to you have Paxton. Well, actually, you probably ended up having two before he hits of school age. What was the decision always it's homeschool or nothing, or was there a lot of conversation, a lot of back and forth? How did you come to the decision that you guys finally made?
Because the decision you made is a massive one. I mean, mm-hmm.
Did you know at the time? You know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It went against both of what our families probably would have expected of us.
Oh, really?
It was hard for us to make that decision. Hard for me, I would say.
Right. And so I think the first thing was me needing to quit my job to stay at home. So that wasn't right.
I was
going to
ask you if you
point.
Had a job. And
so, yeah,
that...
I was teaching autistic yep. support in Williamsport. And I think that was the first thing that God laid on my heart is that everyone said it was going to get easier, you know, because it was really difficult to leave him. And I did not find that it got easier. I felt that I kind of became numb. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I was just going through the motions and I didn't want to live like that. And I was also, you know, pouring my all into this really exhausting career of working with kids with autism. And then I would get home and not really have anything.
Yeah.
Have anything left to give. And so that was the first thing. And for Patrick, it was like, no, you need to have my mom stayed home. So it wasn't that out of the norm for me. Though I guess my parents at first, there was a little pushback, right? Because they invested in me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They don't seem to remember that as much. But it definitely happened. There was definitely a lot of praying going on. And so that's really what I did is I just prayed that God would change Patrick's heart on it. To the extent that he hardly remembers not wanting me to stay home. I feel like you remember the more not wanting to homeschool than you do not wanting me to stay home. Is that right? Yeah.
He's nodding his head yes.
Yeah. I'm like, nobody can hear you nodding on a
There's
podcast.
There's agreement here. So far, we're good.
So then after that, I'm not sure. I had always seen homeschooling families and big families and kind of admired them. So maybe that was always, you know, God just putting it on my heart. I'm not sure really what first started making me think about it, but I think any decision that you make, a lot of people ask you, like, why do you homeschool? And sometimes they want to come back and be like, well, why do you send your kid to public school? Because right. any decision that you make really should yeah. be seeking the Lord about it and praying about it. But a lot of people just do it, you know, that's what you do. And that's not something that we've ever really wanted to do is do things because that's what you do. So it was through prayer and just reading scripture and really thinking about what our ultimate goals were for our kids and what our vision for our family was that made us decide that homeschooling would be the best way that we could see that we could get to that path. Like yeah. doing our best, giving our all, giving our loaves and our fish. Like, these are our loaves and our fish, and whatever God does with them, he does with them. But we have to bring our loaves and fish, and so this is the best way we can do that.
Patrick, what was your, like, aha moment of, okay, this is...
I'm sorry, that visual was great. Paxton realized the microphone was still in front of him and not in front of his dad. So he very comically slowly moved the bar over in front of Patrick to a nice creaking noise that our sound editor hopefully will keep in because it's wonderful. Okay.
He's been told to edit that out. Who are you?
No, I want that to stay. Okay, back to you, Patrick. What was your aha moment about this homeschooling?
So, yeah, I think talking and praying about it a lot, it had to do with, was it Indoctrination, that DVD we were mm-hmm, watching yeah. a little bit? So that brought up a lot of good things that I had never considered before. And I think the whole situation with me working overtime for the company I was at the time, and you talking about, you know, why am I going to work and doing this where it financially maybe not makes sense anymore, and I'm helping other people's kids and someone else is watching our kid. It was just kind of backwards a little bit. So
yeah,
it just helped me to think like, well, you know what, can we do this? I'm insecure of going back to one income. I'm insecure about all these other things, and I didn't have to be. Most of our life, what we're talking about here, it's like we're just on this path by default, and we don't know any better. So we have to break that mold a little bit and go outside the box and trusting God more than anything.
Yeah. And this is, you're working at Keystone at this time? Is this pre-PPL?
This was PPL.
Oh, it was PPL. Yeah. Okay.
So Paxson was already around, and I think I had already at that point made the decision in my head that, oh, public school is the way to go. Like,
yeah,
there's no other option, right? I didn't even think about it, I don't think, until she brought it up.
Right. And so when I brought it up, he had just been saying, you know, that I could stay home. And I had a lot of people praying for me about that, and I had been praying about it. So then I was like, well, I've got 5 years to pray. Like, I'm not really worried about it. Like, right, it'll happen. So.
Yeah. And I love public school. I grew up, I had friends. I played all the sports. Sure. I mean, it was a social atmosphere for me. And yeah, I just couldn't think of anything else other than that. But I've come to realize I have no regrets in our decision now.
So right now you've got three in school?
Yes.
Three school three, age. Yeah. Three yep. school age. So walk us through just a little bit, because you obviously have an education background. You have the chops. You know what you're doing. But at the same time, they're your kids. So are you writing your own curriculum? Are you pulling curriculum from somewhere? What's a typical like school year look for you as far as your workload, how you're handling two out of school, soon to be three out of school, and three in school? What's your, I'm sorry, my brain can't picture your day.
Schedule.
Yeah, your day seems so unbelievably full that it's kind of hard for me to even wrap my brain around that you'd be juggling that on your own.
Right. Yeah. In the beginning, it's actually funny. People are like, you're an education major, so that's, you know, it's easy for you. But I actually think it was more of a hindrance than a help. Because when you're homeschooling, you kind of have to de-school yourself from all of your thoughts, because it does not look like, you know, 8 to 3 or 8 to 4, whatever a public school day is. Like, that's right. Not, we're not all sitting at desks, you know, doing our work all day. So it's definitely, we have kind of a very relaxed, eclectic homeschool style. So I've gone through lots of different curriculums. In the beginning, of course, I was like really frugal also. And so I did make my own curriculum with Paxton, and that was easy. But a few years in, then I started like purchasing things. And now we do like a unit study together that kind of covers like our science social studies stuff. And then they do a math program, which we just started last year, which was like a game changer, where it's like on the computer. It's called teaching textbooks. So that's been really fantastic. I still have to do it with like the youngest, but the two oldest.
Right. They can kind of
Self-direct. And so as they get older, too, more of the learning becomes self-directed. So even the unit studies that we're doing, like Paxton is saying that he prefers to read it on his own because he doesn't really learn the best when he's being read to. So it's really not as like chaotic and crazy. I mean, some days it is, obviously. Some days life is just like a game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
But it's not as like chaotic and crazy as people think it is. You can't do it all. So like right. The house isn't clean.
And like, the only reason why I'm like, I'm only probing because like there are guaranteed to be someone who might listen to this that is either thinking about it or is in the midst of it and things right. like that. So like, are you doing all subjects every day? Are you breaking up subjects to specific days? Is it like you just have goals you want to meet, so you work towards that as time goes right. on?
I would say math, reading, language arts, those are like our core things. And then mm-hmm. anything else that happens is like bonus.
Nice.
And then we do a co-op on Fridays from 10 to 2 every Friday during the school year. And that's like a bunch of us moms. And we just come up with random classes. So they're getting a lot of extracurricular through there, a lot of gym, a lot of art, some music, and then just other like cooking classes. Or he had like a Lego building class or
Skinning rabbits.
Yeah. There's been hunting classes.
Was that with Kehoe? Yeah. The skinning rabbits one?
It was a different friend that actually raises rabbits.
Gotcha.
Consume.
Are you guys just meeting at each other's houses for the co-op, or you kind of go into a communal space?
Yeah, we meet at a local church.
A local church. Yeah. Okay, there's room.
Yeah, there's kids there from like newborn until graduating at 18. So we have a lot of
now. I'm picturing almost this like Renaissance-like painting of all of these children at the front of a church, like at the altar, while they skin rabbits. And it's like
no, that was done outside.
Was outside? Okay.
Yeah, you know.
So maybe not that then.
No.
Okay. Patrick, when now Brittany has decided that she's going to leave her profession, she's going to then be a full-time mom and an educator and a house maintainer and all the hats that she wears. Your role as her husband, how are you feeling about all of this as she's taking on all of this? What's going through your mind as like now the breadwinner?
I had a lot of confidence, I think, up front. Once I was able to make that cognizant decision, I mean, with her background and her passion for what she does, I didn't have a problem, at least in the beginning years, that we'd be able to make this work. I guess I was more wondering what was going to happen in middle school, high school, like when we get to the more difficult subjects. Is it going to be more me teaching calculus at that point? Like, I don't know if I could do that.
But I'm sure you could do it. Yeah. You know,
he definitely can. And he definitely picks up, you know, I'm more of a language arts kind of reading person, and he's more of the math science. And he picks up a lot of that and just does it randomly. I feel like homeschooling is more of a lifestyle than it is just like Monday through Friday. It's just like we're always homeschooling, you know,
yeah.
We're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
We're always
doing
it.
We did like the half measure of we pulled Abigail out of school and now she does online through Agora. And we had to do that same thing too, of like breaking your brain of the traditional classroom. Of like, you know, she's not in school 7 hours a day. She's in school like 3.5, like mm-hmm. 4. And she has those cores, you know, ELA, science and math, like every day. But then the other stuff is just kind of sprinkled in. And she does have to be a self-motivated learner as a seventh grader now that, you know, the curriculum is given to her. And I'm sure Paxton's going to have a lot more of this now going into seventh grade where he's like a self-motivated learner. But I'm really impressed by the step you guys took. That's a big step to just say we're doing this, because it's tough in the economy now to have a single income family. It's tough to have a larger family. So you guys have these things like, as the world would look, stacked against you. But having the faith to just say, no, we're going to do this because this is what we feel God's calling us to do. And then to see the blessings that have come out of it, that, I mean, you got a pretty well-rounded 12-year-old sitting here that... I mean, how many kids have been in this studio with a mic in front of their mouth and they're like,
yeah, Paxton does a really nice job.
My name is
yeah.
Like nothing. And just Paxton just like right away, like, I like rock and roll.
I know. Yeah. So hot.
Came in hot, like right there. You guys ever heard of Skillet? It's a good band. Yeah. He was right on it.
Speaking of Paxton, I do think that he wanted to, which you can say no if you change your mind, but I do think he wanted to share his testimony.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Please do.
Yeah. There's the creaking.
There's the squeak.
There's the squeak. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
So I was raised in a Christian home.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are your parents?
Shocking.
So it was kind of simple, nothing really that dramatic. So everything just kind of made sense to me more than anything else. And then it was kind of just like the Holy Spirit pulling me into it. Just like, that's the way I should go. And like that, like technically those are like the parents he gave me. So I was baptized on 2022, June 17th. It really started when we were having family worship, because we do family worship, tried to do it like every night as a family, and I just decided that just felt that moment. And I think we were going to do it more in May, and then like there was thunderstorms, so we couldn't do it. So
what's family worship look like?
We technically, my dad reads something from like the Bible, like some short thing, and then we sing a hymn or something.
And pray.
Yeah.
Got all three. We've got a lot of worship.
We have various age groups, so we have to keep it short.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
sweet.
And you get all three branches of worship there. You've got reading God's word. You've got singing, and you've got praying. Yep. Yeah.
Sometimes it's dancing to God be the glory and having a good time, and sometimes it's like a half hour in depth Bible study, and the little ones are running off to their rooms and like don't want to be a part of it. They want to go play. We make it work.
There is something you said though that you said it's not like a spectacularly. Like, it's not a huge, interesting story. But that's the thing, is like, before you know Christ as your Savior, you are destined to eternal separation, right? You're destined for the second death. We all are. We're all sinners. And just the fact of coming to know Him, that's a miraculous thing. That's a big story. So don't discount it just because you like, you know, my mom and dad were believers and they taught me right and I just felt the pull. That's awesome. Like, to feel the pull of the Holy Spirit, you know, before you're a teenager, and to have such confidence to then go forward and say, yeah, I'm I know this to be truth. This is what I want to do. I know Christ died for me all before the age of 13. Like, to have your ducks in a row like that, that to me is a miraculous story. I wouldn't discount it. I think it's a pretty good one, man.
And like, I never really read the Bible on my own. I just like never really felt like it was really that interesting. I really liked fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I've read a lot of good fantasy books, and then I kind of like want, like after maybe like a year, I just really feel like I want to read the Bible. So I just prayed about it a lot, and maybe like few weeks later, then I got like a passion to read the Bible in 6 months. And then I started with the Gospels, and then they let me watch The Chosen, and then I wanted to read the Gospels even more then. So
I know you got stuck on Matthew for a bit, but did you make it through in 6 months, or did you just like burn 3 months
on
Matthew?
No, this is recently.
Oh, recently.
Yeah,
okay.
This is recently.
Okay. So have you read through the whole thing on your own yet?
No.
No, you're working through it? Okay. Mike?
Well, was there more to your testimony? I'm sorry. I feel like you got cut off there a little bit. No, okay.
Is there anything more than forgiving?
I thought the testimony was over.
I wasn't
baptism.
Sure. I
he
wasn't
got
sure.
baptized in 2022.
Our testimonies are really never over, so yeah. Obviously.
No, amen.
Who baptized
still
you?
Still growing.
My dad and our friend's pond.
Really? Nice. I like that. Abby has talked about it, that she does not want to get baptized. She wants to be outside. Right. We're a big outdoor family, so like right. She wants to be like in a creek or a pond or something like that. So
it was the Kehoe's pond. I'm sure they would. It's seen many a baptism.
we were actually thinking about in Pine Creek Valley in front of my mom's house, like right there in the creek.
Nice.
But did you go down and then come back up with like lily pads and pond scum and
no,
everything?
Wait. No.
Nothing like that. No salamanders.
Also, they had leeches in their pond too, which I'm glad because they put like stuff in it to like get away the leeches.
Okay.
So
you didn't pop up with leeches on
you.
No. All right. I mean, there's a metaphor there about blood and all kinds of stuff. But yeah.
Before we wrap up, if one of the things I wanted to point out, Patrick is a deacon here at BCC. How long have you been doing that?
I'd say probably 11 years, maybe.
11 years?
Yeah.
There was a small break in between, but...
Right on.
Yep.
You've been serving at the BCC as a deacon for about 11 years. And do you want to talk about anything about that or...
No, just... I mean, as being part of this church, I know that's probably a question you guys ask a lot. And this has been a family. We've been a part of a lot of ups and downs in the years. And just with all the people that we're close with and the relationships we've made, especially with the elders and... our home group family, everyone who's been a part of it. I mean, you guys too. It's like, we just always know we can trust that there's someone that's there to help no matter what. And we want to be a part of that. Like I'd say for me learning the most in recent history, like my mentality is being like a Romans 5:8, like God demonstrates his love for us in this and that Christ died for us. And Matthew 5:44, I wrote that one down here, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Like that's huge. And that's what we want to do, is just love on people who may not have felt love in the past, and to build connections any way we can. If I can do that being a deacon, great. If I can do that being a facilitator of a home group, great. If I can serve in any capacity, that's what we enjoy doing as a family and hosting people.
Nice. Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the Anderson family for coming in. Brittany, good luck with that pregnancy. I know you're almost there.
Yep,
I'm sure the heat has not been great.
She'll probably be like, when this comes out, the baby will probably have released already. Like,
what pod comes out?
Did you say the baby would be released?
whenever Brittany decides to release the next one.
I hope so. I hope it's released.
Patrick,
although apparently this
beard,
comes
buddy.
Out Monday, but we almost three beards here today, right?
Almost. Patrick does. He's working on it. Looks good.
Oh wait, before you fade the music up, how do you feel about the beard now, 16 years later, 17 years later?
This beard is great, fantastic.
You like that one?
Yeah. There's when he looks full Amish beard. No.
I agree with you. Yeah, I'm with you. That's too much.
So, I did not show up to your room with food in my beard.
Rocking,
since
like
then.
The just the chin. Thing.